Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to former Royals reliever Jamie Bluma. What's up, Bluma?
Good morning. Old John Denver starts the morning. I like it.
You like that song?
I do like that song. It reminds me of we had that vinyl album. I'm pretty sure my parents did, or the 8-track. We had both.
Let's get to these Royals. You surprised they sent down Josh Stallmont?
A little bit, but as I was thinking about it this morning and kind of making some notes, I think that kind of tells everybody the emphasis this new pitching staff puts on throwing strikes, if not anything else. I mean, I think they've told him to go down and work on, you know, getting ahead of guys and commanding the baseball a little bit better. And so I think everybody was probably a little bit surprised just because from a stuff standpoint, and we've seen what Stallmont's had, you know, upper 90s fastball with a buckling curveball, but if he's not able to get ahead in the count, that's been his drawback. So quite a statement by them, like go down there and work on some stuff. I mean, we're going to see him at some point this year, but out of the gate, we're going to see some other guys. So
you know, Richard Lovelady is a fan favorite, and apparently he was angry that you sent down. He tweeted out, "What I did never even matters." You understand the mindset of a prospect trying to crack the big league roster? What about Richard Lovelady's frustration?
100%, because you go into spring training. I mean, obviously you're on the roster. You're getting the opportunity to compete. And then you go you go scoreless, and you don't walk anybody, and you strike out guys. And you still don't make the roster. So from his standpoint, you know, frustrating. I mean, nobody's more frustrated that they signed a reliever from the Yankees and Amir Garrett's already there. We're going to be a little heavy left-handed with Yarbrough as well. He's probably going to be in the bullpen if he's not in the starting rotation. But again, he's got to go down there and get his mindset that, I mean, I got to pitch well here because at some point I'm going to get big league time. So that's, I know it's frustrating, and I've been there. Most everybody that's played's been there. But you got to go down there and get your head screwed back on straight, because you could be back up in the next week or 2 weeks. But not if you don't go down to Omaha and pitch good. I mean, if you don't go down there and pitch well, you're not going anywhere. So I know it's cliche, but go down there and take care of the things that you can take care of. And I'm sure we'll see Lovelady at some point this season.
So last night, the Royals played Texas, and Michael Massey went deep for his fourth home run of the spring. I'm very excited about Michael Massey. He deserves to be the second baseman, and I think he has a chance to be a very good offensive player. Give me your level of excitement about Michael Massey.
I was excited about him last year when he came up. I was able to meet some of his people that kind of grew up around him in the Chicago area before he went and played at the University of Illinois, and just heard such good things about him just being a solid guy. And I just love the way he approaches the game. Baseball player in the truest sense of the word, with some juice. Has played well this spring. I'm excited for him. I was actually able to see a little of the game last night, see Bubich pitch, threw the ball well in his 3 2/3 four innings of work that he threw last night. Hadn't gotten to see a ton of innings this spring, so to be able to watch him last night was encouraging. I think he's going to end up being the when we get stretched out a little bit, he'll be the fifth guy in our rotation. But excited about Maxey. Probably didn't expect it going into the spring with some non-roster invites that are probably going to make this team. But it looks like Mel Reyes, I'm sure you'll touch on that. And you know, between Duffy and Katie, I think those guys is going to make it. I think we're going to see Jack Bradley Jr. as well.
Okay, you before we get into some of those players you mentioned making the roster, Bubich, as you said, 3 2/3 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. 46 of his 70 pitches were strikes. He got 14 whiffs on 32 swings, which, as Andy Rogers wrote, is encouraging. He threw 17 sliders, which is encouraging. Watching him, what stood out to you, because that's a good number, 6 strikeouts and 3 2/3, so he looked good last night. What specifically did you like from Bubich?
And he's one of those guys, I mean, his fastball's not going to be up 90s or any like some of our other starters, but because he can spin his breaking balls, both of them, curveball and slider now, he's got a little bit two different ones. I mean, he was still 93 last night. Makes his fastball look that much better. And then he still got a good changeup. I mean, I think his changeup was his original calling card. He was in the minor leagues. He got a ton of strikeouts on that. So that is the pitch that he's always kind of been pitching off of. But now that he's got a couple different breaking balls to go to, that makes his fastball play up a little bit. That was one thing, the things that I saw last night, a couple swings and misses on you know, 92, 93 mile an hour fastballs, because I think guys are, you know, very cognizant of the fact that he can throw a breaking ball for a strike. And they're looking for that, and then, you know, snuck a fastball by him. So to be able to have all those different weapons in his arsenal, not just a changeup and a curveball, to mix in that slider, make his fastball look much better. And that was encouraging to see him get back to some strikeout totals, which is kind of what he was known for in the minor leagues. Obviously, he hasn't done that a ton here at the big level.
What are the notes you got written down there, Bluma?
My notes were kind of about how the bullpen's going to end up playing out. We're going to be a little heavy in the bullpen, which we haven't been in a long time. Usually we had one guy down there, but with the Chris Chapman and Amir Garrett and Yarbrough probably going to settle in down too. I mean, that's more lefty we've had in the bullpen. You guys know now that the way guys are used in the bullpen, there's no left reliever that can come in and face one batter unless it's finish an inning. They've got to stay in for 3 years or however many it is until they finish the inning, to some different options on there is going to be interesting this year. But we're also just have a whole slew of guys, I think, at the AAA level. We got a lot of arms in this bullpen. I think this is a chance to be one of our strengths. Just got to see how many innings we can get, you know, out of this group of starters that we have. We're not trying to rely on the bullpen for 4 innings every single night.
All right, so let's talk about some of the other players and roster decisions. Framil Reyes looks like he's made the team. Andy Rogers reported Jackie Bradley Jr. and Matt Duffy are two veterans that have been informed they're making the roster. Like I said, Reyes likely to make it. Edward Olivares and Nate Eaton have made it. What about some of those decisions as far as the opening day roster for position players?
You know what? I like it. We're going to have to – this team's going to have to carry us, I think, a little bit offensively until our young pitching can prove that they can hold down the fort. But we've seen Fran Mill, what he can do. I didn't even realize he was available out there on the free agent market until we picked him up, and he's had a good spring and brings a little sock to that DH role. You know, with Vinny Pasquantino, I'm sure, is going to DH some. And Salvi sometimes over there as well. But he's going to get the majority of the time over there. Jackie Bradley Jr., I've seen him play since he was in college. Obviously still a good defensive outfielder. Shows stretches where he's pretty good offensively. We haven't maybe seen it at the big league level the last couple of years. But to have a veteran presence from a position player standpoint with some of that outfield group that we've got that's pretty young, maybe is going to, you know, until Drew Waters gets back, I think that's a pretty good stopgap to have him around. And same with Duffy. He's a veteran. He's been around. And for some of these younger guys, I mean, it looks like Hunter Dozier, we're going to have to expect him to come out and put up some numbers too. We've talked about that all along. I Royals have never really eaten a big contract like that. I didn't expect us to do it now. But hopefully he can, you know, get back to where he was a couple of years ago and hold down that third base spot.
He hit a home run last night, and Nate always says, you know, home runs and stats in spring mean you turn things around, and it directly correlates to the regular season. So it's looking good over here, right, Nate?
It's totally linear. What do you think, Bluma?
Well, it is, but, I mean, I'd rather see him hit the ball well than going for whatever for the spring. They're left Arizona. They were down in left field down in Texas last night, and we'll be, you know, at Kansas City on Thursday. You guys going out on Thursday or Wednesday? I know everybody's been invited to go out on Wednesday, their workout and see and all that stuff. And then obviously Thursday opening day. And for the first time, and I can't tell you how long, it's not cold and rainy. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm planning on going out to the workout tomorrow. I haven't figured out what my Thursday plans are yet, but I'm excited just to go to the workout tomorrow. It's supposed to be a nice day tomorrow, too.
It is, yeah. I'm gonna pop by there and see what's going on, and excited. Opening day is always a fun day, you know, for all of us. Alumni get together. We're going to have a big tailgate out there, have a good time. Always good to start the baseball season.
Hey, I wanted to ask both you guys on this one. There was an article by Annie Rogers. I think it came out yesterday. This is Women's History Month, and there is a little history being made from the Kansas City Royals because for the first time ever, they're going to have a director of behavioral science permanently in the dugout, like game in and game out. Also, it's a female. Melissa Lambert is her name. She's going to be the first woman to be on a major league field on staff in Royals history, and she's there to help with mental health and behavioral science for the players. And I'm curious just your reaction to seeing that. I don't know if you got to read the article and everything, Bluma, but what do you think of it?
I did get to read the article, and just to see all the different things that she's done up until this point with this job with the Royals. I mean, she's got quite a resume on all the different things that she's done. I mean, this is a part of every, you know, every big league team that maybe when I was coming around that they didn't even, you know, that was like nutritionists, and now mental health, all that stuff wasn't a thing 20 years ago. And now that we're on the cutting edge of everything that we can do for these players, we really look at everybody as an investment. And for female, and kudos to her in a male-dominated sport that she's put in her time and worked with a bunch of different organizations, and she gets the opportunity in the dugout. And, you know, hopefully all those little things make a difference. I mean, add her roster of a completely different dugout, the Royals, this year, from top to bottom, manager to pitching coach to everybody. So quite a group looking to make an impression. I like what I've seen so far this spring as a whole, the energy and kind of live little different ways of going about their business. And, you know, her to the list to be able to help this team, you know, realize its potential going forward with a lot of these young guys that we've got in this roster.
See, she's available to help any radio host in town. I could use someone to talk to. Not kidding.
I'm sure she will.
Well, how about this? And so, look, I'm not rooting for Cleveland, but I like certain players, and I like Tristan McKenzie a lot. He's also on my Roto team, son of a. he's
a bada bing.
In baseball. Everyone loves, you know, Nate always says, you know, chicks dig the long ball. I get it. And everyone loves offense. But if I can watch a dominant pitcher, and especially, you know, someone that's unique like Tristan McKenzie, he's must-watch baseball for me. Last year, a 2.96 ERA in 190 innings, hit a whip of under one. When he's on, I mean, so tall and lanky, it just the ball comes at such a weird angle. I mean, he's unhittable when he's on, but that's one of the problems. He's tall and lanky, and durability has always been a question. And so he left a game, and now he's been shut down due to a strain of his right teres major muscle, the back of the shoulder, and could miss up to 8 weeks. He left after just one inning of Sunday spring training game, had the MRI, which confirmed the injury. I know everyone say, oh, well, that could have been season ending, that could have been this, that, or anything else, but you know, when you're dealing with the back of the shoulder, That just kind of feels like they're crossing their fingers. They're going to shut him down from throwing for 2 weeks, and then he'll be reevaluated at that time. He's 25 years old. And that, I don't know if Cleveland's going to win it again, but if they lose him for an extended period of time, that's a player that can help decide who wins the division, right?
Agreed. And he's a guy that reminds me of Robin Ventura, but you're not Ventura. I mean, he throws in the same way. Max, a guy kind of long and lanky and skinny and, a little bit different than the big strapping, 6'4", 240-pound starting pitcher that, going to put up 200 innings, man. He's an electric arm. And anything that happens in this division that gives us an advantage, I mean, we're fortunate that our division is probably going to be the least strong of any division in baseball. And so if we can stay, around that 500 mark through the course of the year, I think that 86, 87 wins always is going to give you an opportunity to grab that second wild card spot. And Cleveland's the odds-on favorite to win this division, I think, with the White Sox. Anytime you see a little chink in their armor, in their starting rotation, because that's what they're known for, and that's an advantage for us. But we've also got to get out of the gate hot. Too many times I've talked with you guys, let's not go 7-14 or 7-13 in March and April. Let's get out, get on Minnesota. Minnesota's a team that we're going to be battling 18 to 20 times this year. Let's get out of the gate well on opening day and try to give ourselves an opportunity.
So you said he's not one of these, big hosses, a workhorse of 6'4", 220. He's listed 6'5", 165, and I'm going to suggest that weight is embellished. I mean, he's rail thin.
His pants almost fall off.
Right.
But 6'5", 165, yeah. that's almost impossible.
He's a basketball player.
No, he is. Yeah, no one questions his stuff, but you question his durability.
Yeah.
Look, he had a .95 WHIP in 190 innings. He had 190 strikeouts. That's a ripe a couple of days before the season starts. That's a killer. You can't. There's nothing you can do to replace that.
No, and for them, I mean that's going to happen everywhere around the league. So you got to be able to find those players to pass that. All right, who else you got on the bottom bing? You've had your draft.
No, I haven't. See, this I'm working on the freeze list or due on Friday.
Gotcha.
And so I got I'm very happy because I have Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Massey. So you can't say nothing to me. I got Nate Eaton, but I can only keep 9 players. But like Tristan McKenzie is my ace. But like that's what you got to deal with. Look, it's baseball. You almost assume that you're going to have 3 or 4 devastating injuries to your pitching staff, and so you focus on freezing positional players, and then just try to get lucky enough to get enough innings from guys not getting hurt, like Tristan McKenzie. If I threw all my eggs in that basket, I'd be super pissed off right now. But he just
I'd be working the roto wire for a trade.
I had 3 years ago, 2 years ago, Tyler Glasnow. I said, there we go, next big thing. And he's thrown like 5 innings since then. Last year, Shane Baz, not next big thing. Now he's on the shelf for another year. So it's like, I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised we've bitched and moaned about how these young pitchers for the Royals haven't produced. I'm surprised one of them or two of them hasn't got hurt. And as soon as I say that, I remember Daniel Lynch left. How concerned are you about Daniel Lynch based on what the reports were?
A little bit concerned. I mean, he's a guy that needed to take that step forward, and it looked like it was happening a little bit this spring. And then little injuries like that, you just never know. I mean, they can creep up and take too long. And he needs to be throwing and getting experience underneath his belt. I mean, I'm worried about him. I'm worried about Kowar. Heasley got beat up a lot this spring. So, I don't know what kind of depth we've got, even moving forward from a starting pitching standpoint, even at the AAA level. So hopefully these guys with Bubich in that fifth spot, Jordan Lyles that we got as a free agent, Zach Greinke is going to go out and do what he does. I mean, hopefully Singer and Keller's going to bounce back with his new curveball. That's the concern because we don't have a deep big league staff, and I don't think we have a ton of, prospects. And I think Boland's down there too, but none of that whole crew of that large group of pitchers that we drafted a few years ago is really – other than Singer, you know, made that big step forward, you know, proving that they can take the reins and be the next guy.
You get involved in this big KC draft party. I'm an MC coming up at the end of the draft.
I am. I'll be a part of this town at Harris. You know, been working with a couple of those guys, work getting some celebs around and some sponsorship stuff. So CBD American Shaman, and you're looking forward to CeeLo Green and Uncle Cracker.
Right.
Yes. I'll be a part.
I'll be the MC. We're gonna have a good time, enjoy some good music, and celebrate the draft being in Kansas City. So I'm glad you're going to be a part of that with our good friends at CBD American Shaman. For more information, go to kcdraftparty.com and meet celebrities like Neil Smith and Christian Okoye and Tim Grenhard and Uncle Cracker and CeeLo Green and, of course, me.
Well, you saved the best for last there. Buried the headline.
Yeah. Bury your headline.
Wait, hey.
Thank you very much, Jamie Bluma. It's baseball season. Act accordingly.
It is official. We'll see you guys hopefully at the ballpark.
Hey,
thank you.
Wait a minute. I got kids running around that need lessons. What do they do now?
You can find me on Twitter, at BundyJr19. You can find me, 913-320-4404, at home field. Season started last weekend. A lot of tournaments started here in Kansas City this past weekend. It was cold. This weekend is going to be a little bit better. But all youth baseball, high school, all the way down to the little guys. Off and running. If you need some help, give me a holler.
Hey, there's been some rumors that maybe Selena wants to try out for the softball team at St. Pius. You got anyone you hook me up with there?
Absolutely.
We'll help.
Absolutely. And hopefully, just like I did with your son, somebody won't come in and bloody my lip.
Wow.
And I'll do the same with them.
You know what? It toughened both of you up. Thank you, Bluma.
Wait. Thank you, guys.
That's Jamie Bluma back. And kcdraftparty.com if you want to buy tickets.
Ooh.
Nate.
All right.
KCDraftParty.com.
You're not just going to give me one? I don't get one just for free, just being your friend?
I could submit a request,
okay.
A proposal. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Mr. Nate Bucati, Marco Marquez, who was shouting profanities at Frank Bowl in the commercial break. For some reason, I heard Marco yell, "Why don't you go butter your bread?" Like, what are you talking about?
It doesn't even make sense.
What does it mean? He's your elder. You respect that old man. That's a man of 79 years. How old is he?
That's a man.
84 something. It's Frank Bull. Right?
That's a man that taught Honus Wagner how to play the position of shortstop.
He's getting ready to teach Marco how to get punched. So
that's right.
Hey, don't get on his bad side. You want to talk some baseball?
I would love to talk baseball.
You know, opening day is in 2 days.
Oh man,
unbelievable!
Can't get here soon enough.
Introduce our next guest, please.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. We have been talking with J.J. Piccolo for quite some time on the show, right? And for a long time, I think he was the vice president and assistant general manager for the Kansas City Royals. He's now the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. And the man that is now vice president and assistant general manager for the Kansas City Royals is Scott Sharp. And so he's going to join us on the show. And I screwed with his schedule a little bit today because I screwed up the timing with Marco. And he was willing to shift on the fly this morning and join us half an hour earlier than I told him. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm great, Nate. Steven, good to be on the show. Didn't mess with my schedule too much. I'm fine.
Well, thank you. We apologize for Nate and his... Not respecting your schedule, but we certainly do appreciate you coming on the show. I mean, this is really snuck up on us for a variety of reasons, but I mean, can you believe opening day is 2 days away? Here we are.
Well, I'm glad it's close, because you're always nervous going through spring training. You want the team to get put together. You want to avoid injuries, knock on wood. So it's a great time. Spring training's very enjoyable to get to see a lot of players, but once you get about 6-7 weeks into it, you're really anxious for the season to start.
You know, one thing that obviously made spring training very different for baseball fans was the WBC. And we all were hoping to see more of Brady Singer and Bobby Witt Jr., but I know there's also benefits to having them in that atmosphere and that environment. But I'm just curious, overall, how much of the WBC did you get a chance to watch, and what did you think of the event itself and maybe the impact that it had on baseball and the popularity of baseball in this country?
Well, I'm a baseball fan, so I watched a lot of it. Conveniently, most of the games were in the evening, or they were on our complex TVs if they were going on during the day. It's just such an interesting sort of fanatical atmosphere when you get the patriotism involved, country to country, and that's what the players came back with. They just said the environments were so electric. We were really fortunate to have, we had about 10 players playing. All of them felt like it was such a good environment to play in that could prepare them for playoff baseball. And that's something that's really difficult to replicate. You certainly don't replicate it in spring training. So to have guys in those types of environments was really enjoyable.
At the same time, and by the way, Scott, I loved the WBC, and I was lucky enough to get to go down to the USA versus Venezuela game and see Salvi hit a game-winning double or a game-tying double, and see Bobby Wood Jr. score a game-tying run in the game. So it was awesome to get to be a part of all that. But we also have heard people complaining about guys getting injured or not being able to control the number of innings, say, that a pitcher might pitch, or, you know, the kind of preparation that ramps up to it. How do you think overall front offices, are they coming around to this idea more, or is there still a lot of pushback? Where do you see that right now with the WBC?
There's definitely hesitation when it comes to injury, but you know, those injuries are magnified because, again, it's sort of that, you know, on TV, in your face. Players, unfortunately, get injured in spring training all the time. So injuries are just a sort of an inherent part of playing. But when you amp up the stress levels, when you amp up the intensity levels, yeah, you're definitely subjecting players to maybe injuries that they probably otherwise wouldn't be subjected to that time of year. But I think you have to weigh the benefits too. Like, there's always going to be a downside, but if the benefit, you know, in your mind can outweigh the downside of potential injury, and look, some of those injuries were in celebrations, you know, so that's unavoidable too. But it's not necessarily stuff that happened on the field. You do have to weigh it. There's always a consequence if you send players away from your guidance, how they're used in injury. But if they come back with an experience that you otherwise couldn't provide them, it's a good thing.
We're on the line with Scott Sharp right now talking about the Royals. Speaking of injuries, can you update us on Daniel Lynch and maybe what the outlook is for him?
It's actually very positive. I mean, I think, whenever you see a pitcher walk off the mound, that's of concern without question. I think Daniel is, he was very smart. He felt something, felt like, hey, it wasn't worth pushing through right now in a spring training game. We got very good news. We think the shutdown will be very short, and, you know, we anticipate seeing him back, you know, hopefully mid to late April, in games, you know, at least on a rehab assignment or more. So, it was actually very, very good news, just considering the circumstances, like I said, of a player walking off the field.
You know, and he's part of that group of young pitchers that Royals fans have been so excited about and want to see more from. They want to see more pitchers take that huge step, like Brady Singer. Like, Chris Bubich looked good last night and had 6 strikeouts, but the theme has been strike throwing, throw strikes, and it seems simple, but that's maybe the most important thing that these young pitchers have to do, throw strikes. And for fans out there that are anticipating what these pitchers are going to look like with new guidance and new coaching, maybe take us a little bit into that and what you're hoping for, what the organization is hoping for, and how to get the most out of the potential of these young pitchers that you guys have invested in.
Yes. Going into the offseason, the pitching was, without question, probably the thing that we felt like we needed to take the biggest step forward with. And it does come down to a very simplistic message, which is you need to throw strikes. Well, we've been telling pitchers that since they were 8 years old, right? Like, if you don't throw strikes, you're not going to have success. But there's other keys to how to do that, right? Like, so whether it's targeting, whether it's catcher setup, whether it's, throwing certain pitches in certain counts and not trying to be too fine. I think people underestimate, like, how difficult it is to actually throw a ball in the exact spot you want it to. Most pitches, what their intended spot is not where they land. So the idea is like, okay, let's throw to a spot in the strike zone that is larger, and as the ball naturally moves, it stays within that strike zone. Again, seems like a fairly simplistic concept, but you eventually graduate to being able to pick corners and spots to throw to, like a Zach Greinke is capable of doing. But trying to do that too early in your major league career, what these pitchers have realized is major league hitters are very good. Major league hitters, the good ones, don't deviate from their plan. So you find yourself in a 1-0, 2-0 count way too often and very quickly, because those are pitches that are either called or swung at in the minor leagues, and major league hitters don't do that. So the idea was, hey, let's simplify this. Let's make, obviously, strike throwing a priority, but let's have a very consistent plan on how we're going to do that. And I think we've seen it pay off in spring training. Again, it is spring training. But if you can get ahead of hitters, you just look, statistically speaking, as a pitcher, you're in a much better position being 0-1 or 0-2 on a hitter than you are 1-0 and 2-0.
We're visiting with Scott Sharp, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager for the Kansas City Royals. And Scott, I was reading through your bio. You've been with the Royals for 17 years, and you pretty much worked in every department on the baseball side that you could be a part of. You scouted with three other major league teams before you came to Kansas City, but 17 years, I mean, does it feel like you've been here that long? You know what I mean? Like, does it feel like 17 years has flown by, or does it feel like, man, this is where I've spent the majority of my career? How does it feel at 17 years?
Well, it's an amazing city, and it's an unbelievable organization, and obviously we've done some really good things, and we'll continue to do some really good things, I believe. But it has gone very quickly. I mean, I think we all I turned 50 this year. I think it's one of those things where you look back and you're like, man, what happened? But it seems like it's gone very quickly. It's been, very enjoyable. Obviously, we've had some good runs here. There are times where things have been frustrating, but I think we've put ourselves in a position to, kind of get back to, the building blocks of what led us down the last playoff run. So that's very exciting. That invigorates you no matter whether you've been here 2 years or 17 years. So I'm just excited to come to work every day. I mean, it's, you get to fulfill sort of a childhood dream. I'm not playing, but I'm in the game that I've loved since I was a little kid. So, I think it goes fast because I enjoy it so much.
You said you're not playing. You were a 25th round pick of the Cincinnati Reds in 1994. How many rounds are in the draft now? I know they got rid of a bunch of them.
Yeah, I don't exist anymore now.
Yeah.
there's 20, which, again, I'm an advocate for more players, especially in a team, with a team that's a smaller market. I think, having more minor league players is a benefit. But there's 20 rounds in the draft now. Obviously, you can sign players after that, and then you have the international signs. But, unfortunately, there's a lot of really good players. Gerard Dyson is one. Terrence Gore is one that would have never been selected, in the current iteration of the draft.
Scott Sharp is our guest. And Scott, I want to ask you about a couple of players. I mean, we talked so much about Bobby Witt Jr. and MJ Melendez and Vinny Pasquantino last year. But here comes this next wave and a couple of guys that I'm really interested to hear what you have to say. Michael Massey, who I think is going to be terrific at second base for the Royals. And then a really interesting player, Nate Eaton, that we got to see a little bit of last year that's very versatile. And I'm just curious, if things go the way you guys want, how do you see the roles for those two players this season for the Royals?
Yeah, two good names. You know, Michael Massey is, you know, continued to do what our amateur scouts thought he was going to do, which is hit. And his power has sort of started to come along as well. It's a really pure left-handed swing. And he's a baseball player. I know we sort of overemphasize that at times, but Michael really likes to play the game. He likes to compete. He doesn't like to lose. He doesn't like to get out. He's a very intense player. And I think, you know, that serves him well. Obviously, sometimes, you know, you have to understand that it's a long season and it is the major leagues. But he's gotten off to a really good spring. We expect a lot out of him, you know, in that second base role between him and Nicky. So, you know, I really think that Michael sort of fits into the group that you mentioned with the Bobbies and the Vinny Pasquantinos. And he probably was a little, thought of sort of as an afterthought in that group, but he's very much part of that group. And then Nate Eaton, I mean, Nate's just a really interesting story. Went to VMI as a pitcher, Virginia Military Institute as a pitcher. You know, then he was a shortstop. He's caught. And that's what really makes him attractive is he's all over the field. He's really athletic. He can run. Obviously, we've seen his outfield arm. I think he was top one or two in StatCast data with outfield arm last year. Just a very stoic, you know, he's sort of got that military stoic presence about him. But Nate'll do whatever he wants. I mean, he catches bullpens because he's sort of the emergency third catcher. He's a little bit of that glue that you can put him everywhere that gives Matt and the staff a lot of flexibility late in the game for like defensive replacement and pinch hitting options.
You know, it seems like the Royals have a lot of, you know, young, high end athletes, guys that can run the base paths, base stealing threats, can wreak havoc on opposing defenses. And I'm just curious, with the new changes to baseball with the pitch clock and the bigger bases, and it seems like, things that play into the ability for guys to get on base and make things happen and that may fit very well into this young group of players. How do you think that's going to affect baseball and maybe affect help or hurt the Royals? I think it might help them the way this team is built, but I'm just curious from your perspective, being someone that spent so much time in baseball, how you feel about these, and then also the limitations on the shift, how you feel about these changes that so many people have been talking about in the offseason, and maybe how it affects the Royals.
It's definitely a different style of baseball, if you will. I mean, I we've always prioritized athleticism. Some of that is based on the fact that we play in a very large ballpark, so we want athletes to be able to move around on the field. With the ballpark being so big, we didn't prioritize power as much because of that. And typically you're finding more athletes that, you know, the athletic guys are sometimes don't have as much power. But I think what you're seeing is the league as a whole wants athletes on the field. They want speed. They want action. You know, they don't want the three true outcomes of home run, strikeout, or walk. And I think that's what these rules have really been implemented for. You know, I think that's what the intended outcome is. In spring training, you saw it. Teams are trying to figure the rules out too, right? So you're seeing a lot more running. You're seeing a little bit of cat and mouse between the hitter and the pitcher and the runner. But I definitely think that fans will notice that the game is a lot faster paced. I mean, obviously the game times are shorter, but what you're seeing in that too is just a lot more action. I think that benefits us because we do have speed players. We do want to run the bases aggressively. Obviously, the shifts, that helps athletic infields because you can cover range as opposed to just shifting players into positions. But it also helps, you know, MJ, Vinny, Kyle Isbell, guys like that that are left-handed. They're not necessarily are heavy pull-oriented, but any left-handed hitter that was slightly pull-oriented, they were being shifted pretty heavily, and you can't now. So, you know, it's going to benefit a lot of teams equally, without question, but I think the teams that are speed-oriented and athletic at least probably have the early advantage.
We've been visiting with Scott Sharp, and it's going to be really nice to get a chance to chat with him about the Royals as we get ready for this 2023 season. And just to kind of wrap it up for this week, Scott, you know, talk to you about being a part of the organization for 17 years and getting to know the organization from the ground up through your time here. I think I think all of us on the outside are interested to see what this new regime looks like with the Royals. There's a new owner. You know, JJ is now the general manager. And I think a lot of people, when JJ got appointed as the GM, you and he both have been a part of this organization for a long time. How much will things change? I think is the big question, right? Because it's a change, but it's with guys that have been in the system for a long time. And you mentioned some of the successes that you had before here in Kansas City. And I'm just curious for you guys, look, this, when you work in sports, things are constantly evolving anyway. You know, you learn new things. You find different approaches. If you're not trying to grow and evolve, you're probably falling behind anyway. But how much change do you think there is? What would you tell the fans about that when it comes to where you guys are headed now?
Well, I think you touched on a lot of them. Like, if you don't evolve, you're falling behind daily. So I think what you can see is that we've already tried to implement certain very obvious changes. I mean, and by obvious, I mean things on the surface that everyone can see. We went outside the organization to find a manager and a staff that, you know, came from, you know, quote unquote, sort of the more progressive organizations. Now, we know internally, we feel internally that we've been progressive over time. Now, the outside world may not necessarily see that, but our analytics department has grown exponentially over the last couple of years. Our sports science departments have grown exponentially over the last couple of years. But I think on the surface, when you go outside the organization and you start to sort of collect some industry intellect and knowledge, you're internally, you're signaling, like, we need to seek some outside change. We need to get different ideas. And we did that. And I applaud JJ for being extremely aggressive and progressive with his decision to, you know, put a candidate, a very diverse candidate, to pull together on the manager and pitching coach front. You know, and I think you'll see that, you know, throughout the season. I think fans will notice that Matt probably manages the game different than most managers that we've had here recently, just because the game has evolved and the game has changed. So I think that's what people will notice and see, and I think internally, we're all extremely excited about it.
My final question for you, Scott. Really interesting story that's been making its rounds on social media. Melissa Lambert, the Royals Director of Behavioral Science, will be the first person in her role to have a seat in the dugout in Kansas City's effort to increase mental health resources for the players and staff. She'll also be the first woman to be on the Major League on-field staff in Royals history. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that and how important that was to establish that role for Melissa Lambert.
Yeah, Melissa is an outstanding resource for players. She's been with us for a couple years in our behavioral science group. Mental health on the baseball side, obviously, and societal side as well, is an extremely sort of, it's an area that needs more focus, especially with social media, with the amount of, you know, stress and outside influence and that players are receiving, outside criticism. The mental health component cannot be overlooked. There's a tremendous amount of stress to be a major league player. We're extremely excited to have Melissa on the staff. Again, that's sort of what we were just talking about. We're continuing to evolve. It's something that Matt thought was extremely important. JJ and myself, Ryan Made, He leads our behavioral science department. All thought was extremely important. And it's also something that the players think is important. Again, we're trying to provide resources to players, and we have to get player feedback. And that's what players, you know, that was the feedback that players gave us, is that they needed someone like this to be around more often. So, again, it's just the continuation of evolving and just making sure that we're giving the players the resources they need that they can perform their best.
Man, I tell you what, that has to signal a big change just in terms of the way players evolve right there, because I would imagine not that long ago that it might be the kind of thing that players would actually push back against, you know, and I don't need somebody like that around, as opposed to now you're actually saying that the players want this. They're actually asking for it. That's got to be a big change from when you started, I would think.
It is. I mean, the sort of the old gruff sort of tough guy mentality. I mean, I think people understand more how important it is, to have an outlet, even if it is just to talk about your performance, to talk about family issues. Again, the players are human beings. They're dealing with stuff not only on the field but off the field. And giving them a resource that's going to allow them to perform better, allow them to do their job better, allow them to triage things off the field that they need help with. Again, we're uprooting them, bringing them to Kansas City for an entire year, taking them away sort of from their, you know, their normal environment. We need to be able to provide resources to them.
Scott, thanks a lot for the time. We appreciate you joining us on the show. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
Absolutely. Nate, Steve, thanks.
That is Scott Sharp, who is the Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager of the Kansas City Royals. We'll be right back after this on WHB.